This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Retail spending overall is booming, okay? But companies are going to have to produce new inventories to restock the shelves all across America. And that is a huge boost to the economy in the third and fourth quarters.
Well, Larry,
and so this is a self-sustaining recovery, and the job numbers are stronger than anyone thought possible, and we're climbing our way back from the awful pandemic.
Okay. Well, it was.
If you want to know who's rooting for the country and who's rooting against Donald Trump, one of those things is the most important thing to everybody. And you just look at the jobs numbers today. The jobs numbers exceeded expectations. And there's two ways to report on this. The pace with which jobs have become more available and people have become employed now, the pace has slowed a bit. And of course, we can correlate that with the new cases that have come up since we have opened up, which we knew was going to happen, folks. So it's either, wow, we overachieved what we expected again, or man, the pace has really slowed. So there you have it. And I know you're all very, very shocked that a statistic would come out, and there'd be multiple ways to look at that statistic and serve your very own purpose. Let's listen to Larry Kudlow here on the payroll tax cut as well.
There are other parts of the story, though, that are not as good. And we would like to put out some additional extensions of temporary assistance to help those folks.
Right.
And if the president has to use his executive authority, you can bet he will use it just as he has in the past.
So we are waiting today to see if these folks in Washington, D.C. are going to get a deal done. And I don't know, what do you think, Ryan? Do you expect to see by the end of the show today or maybe by this evening that the Senate, the House Democrats, and the president are all going to end up being magically on the same page?
No, not at all. I don't expect anything to happen today at all. In fact, I think it'll take weeks at best, and I don't even know if that's at best. I'm not sure I'm even rooting for a deal at this point.
Well, you know, I think one thing that people are looking at is the massive amount of spending, the trillions of dollars that we're adding to our national debt. But, you know, at the same time, if this has allowed people to get back on their feet, you know, this is not a situation that is hitting the American people that is their fault. You didn't elect people who passed, you know, made policy and passed decisions that were then going to cause this massive collapse. There's a virus. And with that virus, there's also not a president who can, you know, eradicate it on his own. I got a text from a high school friend of mine, and I won't give the name, but her son asked her today, if Donald Trump doesn't get elected, will the new president still do coronavirus, or will they change it? And I'm like, that kid has got so much foresight. I said, my response was, I think the answer is that they'll change it. Smart kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. The president, the Senate Republicans, the House Democrats, none of them are capable of getting rid of the thing that is causing all of this. But what we have to do is put our best foot forward and figure out a way to to reignite this economy. And I would have to say that it does appear as though that's happening, even against all odds. We're going to speak with Grover Norquist, who is the president for Americans for Tax Reform, about those jobs numbers in about 15 minutes. I'm excited to talk about him. He was very involved in the 1990s. What was it? The contract with America that he was involved with? Newt Gingrich, Bill Clinton. This man is a great foe of taxes and was very a great advocate for tax reform. So we'll see what he has to say about the jobs numbers as they can come out and what he would like to see from Congress. I really feel like the proximity of this specific deal to the election. I think I heard today 87 days until the election.
Ugh.
87 days and it's over, Katie. Is it? But when you consider the proximity of the election and the government writing you checks, and if they write checks, who's going to take credit for it? They're all going to take credit for it. Nancy Pelosi's going to say, well, we wanted to give you more. No matter what, if you all got a leprechaun with a pot of gold at the end of a really bright and shining rainbow, she'd have been like, well, we had two leprechauns in there and the Donald Trump ate one of them. And so now you just get one. So that's the way it's going to be. And Donald Trump is going to have to say, and he has said already, that, you know, we want it to be big. We want to help the American people. He's on record as saying that. Like, who's going to be the rear end who's going to be like, now the American people don't need nothing? I don't know. Maybe it's Grover Norquist, and maybe we'll find out in 1226.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Rand
I don't know.
Paul. That's Rand Paul. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rand Paul.
Yeah. No, I think that's my grandpa. I'm so torn as to what needs to happen next. I am 100% behind the idea of stopping paying people more to not go to work. What needs to happen here? You know, you look at those jobs numbers. Maybe the pay slowed because there were jobs available and people didn't take them because the Democrats decided to make it more valuable to sit on your duff at home on your couch and watch Tiger King, which I've still never seen an episode of. Is Tiger King completely over now? Is that done?
It is done. And it was nominated for some type of award and some documentary award. Crazy. It's done, though.
And you both watched all of it?
Not only did I watch all of it, I watched the one they made later after it was a hit with what's his name from Community. They did an extra episode. I even watched that. And it was terrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watched it.
I haven't. And I was never, quarantine's been tough, but I was just never that bored.
Mm-hmm.
There was good for you. Time.
You never got to that level.
No, there wasn't. I mean, we worked Outlander into our spare time, and that is definitely an after the kids go to bed show to watch. And from what I understood, Tiger King was not for the little eyes. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That is confirmed, not fake news. So I don't know. I want, you know, it'll be interesting to look back on this time 5 years later and see like what we remember from quarantine, because this is kind of like its own decade. It feels like,
yes.
Yeah.
You know, like what are the things that really became a success because we had shelter in place, basically. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. I'm ready to move on.
I don't know if you guys do this or you have anybody in your life that does this, but my wife constantly looks at different time periods and says, man, what would it have been like to live in the pioneer times, or what would it have been like to live in the Civil War or whatever? And I keep telling her, honey, this is one of those moments.
Yeah,
this is one of those, what would it have been like to live in 2020? We get to experience that. So try to find something in it that you can enjoy.
Well, baseball would be one of those things. Mark Saxon, the senior MLB writer for The Athletic, who covers the Cardinals, tweeted out at 11:56 a.m. today, so just about 20 minutes ago, per sources, tonight's Cardinals game has been postponed due to further positive COVID tests. More details as they become available. So there will be no Cubs-Cardinals baseball tonight. Tiger King it is.
We have reached the low.
Well, children, I've tried to put it off this long, but now it's time to introduce you to Tiger King, and this was a Ryan Wiggins recommendation, so it must be totally reliable.
That's cool. I can be the cool uncle.
Yeah.
Like, Ryan said this? Okay.
You are an uncle of sorts, that's for sure. Do your weekends look different than your weekdays?
Oh, yeah.
They do? Because when you can't I mean, maybe you can more now, but when things aren't open and you're not like getting together with a bunch of friends, does it look different?
My weekends look different just because I'm spending them now with, we're allowed to have groups of 10 to 20 people in Missouri. I think it actually is 50. I think we're allowed to have groups of 50.
It's like you're
now
in the probationary period of being grounded.
Right, right. We're almost off.
Be home by 10.
The grounding. But so I get to see people, and we mainly go to each other's houses, and it's been people that I have seen since April. So I'm not seeing new faces, but I at least get to see them on the weekends or family members on the weekends. But during the week, I try to stay at home as much as possible, especially with this new puppy. Got to stay home.
Oh, man. Leave. Ryan, what about you?
Yeah, mine are different because the first question I get asked every morning by my kids is, do you work today? And when the answer is no, then they cheer. And then all of my time gets sucked up like a vacuum into their lives for 2 days.
So do you lie sometimes and just go sit in your car for 3 hours?
Yeah, today's a work day.
Just darn. Bring a microphone that's not plugged into anything and Daddy's sit there and wink at the kids when they walk outside to see you in the driveway.
Daddy's sitting in the SUV crying again. Is that what work is?
Oh, that's so sad. You know, my husband and I decided, we got back from our vacation. We were in Florida. We got back Monday evening and we decided we were going to do everything we could to stay as put as we possibly can. I emailed my grandma earlier this week and I'm like, I really, because she had said that she would be comfortable if we came over and wore masks and if everybody was healthy, like right before we went on vacation. And so we didn't go over then because we were heading to Florida and we just thought we'll keep to ourselves going to Florida. And then now that we're back, we want to keep to ourselves for about a week and a half or so just to make sure everybody is symptom free and all that. But school stuff is starting up next week, not like actual classes, but I've got four different 15-minute meetings on 3 different days next week. My husband goes back for orientation for 2 days next week because he switched school districts, so he's got to go back a little bit for like a new hire, whatever. So it feels to me like this weekend should be our last hurrah, and there's no hurrahing to be done. I don't even know where we would hurrah at.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go.
And if you have any suggestions, please comment them on our Facebook Live or our YouTube Live at Annie Fry on YouTube. And today we are also on Periscope. I see several people commenting hi from Periscope. Thanks for watching us there. And streaming live at radio.com. It's a great app you can put on your phone and take us with you wherever you go. So, yeah, I don't know. Fridays, this has not been a normal week for me because I came back midweek. But I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I was hoping that there'd be some deal done that we could talk about going into the show, and it hasn't happened. And Joe Biden's saying dumb things, and Trump is calling out the dumb things and sometimes saying dumb things while he calls. It's like, this is Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
I'm celebrating because I'm going to be the curmudgeon on this, and that's fine. I hope they don't get a deal done. It's just, we've already spent so much money that's the position I'm going to be on this probably for weeks, is that I hope nothing happens.
So the last time they passed this, everyone said, if you don't need the check, what are you going to do with the check?
Well, I'll just donate it to you.
Oh, okay.
Well, is that okay?
Wow.
Yeah, I got nice things I can do with that money.
Donate to me.
Donate to the puppy college fund.
Please. There
you go. Katie, did you have a question?
I was going to ask you, how does Jared feel about the school year, this upcoming school year? Is he a little bit apprehensive because they don't know if they're going to do full in-person learning or virtual yet? Or how does he feel?
You know, that'd probably be best answered by him. So I'm not going to answer for him. I'm just going to answer what I have observed. And that's, I think that many teachers feel concerned that in classroom education is going to be difficult to do. But I think many teachers feel that in-classroom education is important to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're somebody who is immunocompromised, I completely understand if this is a no-go for you, or if you're married to somebody or have a child who is immunocompromised, or you take care of a loved one who is. But it is very different. You know, I remember frustration as a parent of kids. I remember frustration as the wife of somebody who is having to learn, like, in a snap, turn your entire curriculum into online learning. It's not what they have planned, and you are conceding when you go to remote learning, you are conceding a portion of how you teach and relate and build relationships with kids. I mean, if you give a quiz to somebody and it's online and you're in junior, you're teaching junior high or high school.
Yeah.
I mean, like there's a part of that that there's just a reality you have to accept about that. And do you feel like you're really teaching? So, I won't answer specifically for my husband because, he's not here to answer that. But I would say that I think that while it is something that needs to be taken very seriously to protect ultimately, mostly the adults, the teachers that are in the building and having to be present, it's something that's difficult, but it's worth figuring out in my opinion, how to get those kids back in the classroom. I'm sending my kids into the classroom and I have no problem doing that. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. On the break, Radio Wiggins, Ryan Wiggins is going to answer on the chat Chris's question. Is Radio Wiggins wearing an Old Spice t-shirt? This is the stuff you want to know on a Friday, and this is what we talk about when Congress can't get a deal done. Plus, we'll ask Grover Norquist what kind of t-shirt he's wearing when we talk to him in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for watching us on our Facebook Live, our YouTube Live, and now our Twitter Live at Andy Fry Show. Easy to find us there. And for listening to us in your car, at your desk, in your home, wherever you is convenient for you. We are waiting to see if D.C. is going to come together and figure out how to help the American people here. There's certainly a lot of different ways that have been discussed to do this. Many of them seem punitive to future generations as we stack up the trillions of dollars on our national debt. But, you know, this is why you need to have a rainy day fund and not go into a pandemic with, what, $22 trillion deficit. So we are going to bring on the show now Grover Norquist, who is the president of Americans for Tax Reform. Grover, it's a pleasure to have you on here. I think I saw you speak years ago at CPAC St. Louis, and it's a pleasure to have you back here again.
Yes, absolutely. Delighted to be with you. We got some cheerful news. As we move forward, you've seen today that they have the new jobs number out for July. Remember, we lost 22 million jobs when the government decided to close down much of the economy in March and April, 22 million jobs down. In May, we gained 2.5 million jobs back. In June, we gained 4.8 million jobs back. And this time we got 1.8 million jobs back. So 9 million of the 22 million jobs that were killed by the government closing down the economy, not by the virus. Virus didn't cost any jobs. Virus, the reaction to the virus, saying don't go to restaurants, don't fly planes, the close down to try and stop the spread of the virus. That's what dropped 22 million jobs. We got 9 million back, so almost half. Unemployment's down to 10%. We've been there before during a moderate recession. And every group in the country, from Hispanics to African-Americans to Asians to men, women, everybody's doing better in terms of job creation. But we need to move forward and keep that growth of jobs moving forward. Wage increases are good, but not everybody has a job now. And we need to keep that moving forward, which, as you were saying, means don't go much more into debt. Mm-hmm. I really like the president's proposal of saying nobody for the next 6 months has to pay the FICA taxes. That's the 15% of your salary taken out for Social Security. We've done this in the past when there's been a crisis. Temporarily, they said you don't have to pay it for a month or two, and then it was replenished by the general fund. This is a way to increase people's pay, to reduce the cost of employing people, making it easier for businesses to hire a new person without sending complicated checks out or possibly getting cheated by somebody sending in a note saying, please send my company a subsidy check, as they found several hundred million dollars out of Washington State being taken. This is people in the Social Security system who have been paying Social Security. So you know who they are. You know what they're doing.
We're speaking with the president of Americans for Tax Reform, Grover Norquist. So, Grover, is what you just explained there the same as the payroll tax cut? Is that what you just explained there?
That's it. That is the payroll tax cut.
Give me an example of what that looks like for somebody who's making a normal amount of money. Like, break it down so that it's really relatable for people to understand what this payroll tax cut would do.
Take your salary, and 7% of it comes out of your – well, it all comes out of your paycheck. 15% comes out of your paycheck. In theory, half is paid by your employer, half is paid by you. In fact, your employer would just as soon give you all 15%. He doesn't see any of it. It's a 15% tax on you, but the politicians, to make you feel better, they say, oh, your boss is paying half of it. No, he's not. You're paying all 15. So if you can do the math easy, if you're making $100,000 a year, that's $15,000. That goes to the government, not to you, and you would get to keep it. If you were making $50,000 a year, it's $7,500 a year, which you would get to keep, rather than have it go to the government. This dramatically, again, raises the value of work. One of the problems we have is that the Democrats insisted that for 4 months, the government, federal government, add $2,400 a month to the unemployment that most states give, which is about 50% of your pay, so that 63% of Americans today would lose money by going back to work. They're better off staying on unemployment than going to work. That extra $2,400 a month, in addition to the normal unemployment that we've had for 60 years in American history, addition ended at the beginning of August. The Democrats wanted to continue it. The Republicans said, if you do that, you know, a lot of people won't go back to work. They'll stay out of work for a while. They're still, if you stay in, you still get half your pay from unemployment. But if you do the whole $2,400 above, 63% of Americans will go, I think I'll stay home. Mm-hmm. That's not what you can do. You cannot recover the economy with that. So hopefully they will reduce the $2,400 disincentive to work and get people back to work. But cutting taxes is a way to incentivize that to people and getting resources into their pockets, but not by keeping them out of work.
Yeah.
Grover, this is Ryan Wiggins. How concerned are you with the spending that we've seen from the government this year? Is it a big long-term problem, or does it look more like a drop in the bucket, big picture?
No, it's a big long-term problem. It's several trillions of dollars. That's real money. We used to talk about a billion here, a billion there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money. It's now a trillion here, a trillion there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money. The cost of government is total spending. Don't focus ever on the deficit. The deficit just is like the tip of the iceberg. The Titanic did not hit the part of the iceberg you can see. The Titanic hit the part of the iceberg, the 90% of the iceberg that you couldn't see. The deadweight cost of government is how much do they spend, plus the regulatory costs that they put into every car or light bulb that you make. They make regulations that make it more expensive. That's the cost. Some of it, they take your money now and pay for. That's the budget. Some of which they borrow so your children and grandchildren can pay for it. That's the deficit. There's no, apart from the fact that you may or may not like your children or grandchildren, there's no difference between the two in terms of damage to the economy. So we need to get total government spending under control. And part of that, every time the tremendous job creation we had over the last several years, bringing unemployment down to historic lows, the deregulation, which made it easier to hire people as well, all of that very helpful stuff. Reduce spending because you weren't spending as much on welfare and things like that. We need a strong economy, and eventually, as soon as possible, we need to reform the entitlement programs so that we can get costs down, like we did for welfare with aid to families with dependent children. Bill Clinton signed a bill that said whatever we are spending on welfare, we're going to send to the 50 states, and it would grow only as fast as people's incomes. And that actually tremendously saved money because the 50 states figured out how to do it more effectively, how to root out fraud. Because when it was the federal government's money being wasted, no state spent any time trying to root out fraud. Why do they care? But when it's the state's money, they go, wait a minute, you aren't three people, you're only one. And you saw actual efforts to get fraud down and targeting the resources to people who needed the help and making it temporary so that it was to help you out in a rough patch, not to tell you you never had to work again in your life. So with all of the aid, with all of the means-tested programs, Medicaid, food stamps, those sorts of things, that could be block granted and let states manage them, not the federal government.
So as we continue to move forward this, what did you say that we've gotten about half of the jobs back that we've lost? Is that?
Yeah, about half and that we lost, and things look to continue well. It will be faster if we stop paying people not to work and instead reward them for working. That will speed it up. The good news is all of the fundamentals of the economy are strong. We cut business taxes and investment flowed into the country. Remember companies used to leave and go to other countries. They used to pick up and get bought by the Canadians. Burger King was bought by the Canadians when Obama was president because it was worth more based in Canada. I mean, same hamburgers, same employees, same stores, but the ownership was Canadian, so they lived under Canadian tax law. It was better for Burger King, and that's why Warren Buffett made the deal and moved the leadership to Canada. Companies are coming back to the United States and not leaving because our business tax is 15%. It used to be 35. Communist China is 25. We taxed you more harshly than Communist China did, and then wonder why people were moving their businesses elsewhere. We brought it down to where it's less than what China's taxing, and that's helped bring jobs here. We need, I said 15, it's 21%. The goal is to get it to 15. That's what the president wants to do.
So real quick before I let you go, and I don't know how much you can comment on this or if you'd love to comment on this, but we've seen proposals from Joe Biden that have been put forward about how he would like to lead his administration if he were to win. And we're seeing what this president has been able to do to get our economy, you know, lighting it on fire so that it's a roaring success. And then COVID happens and now he's got to do it again. Is there a lot at stake in November based on what America decides to choose?
Yes, Mr. Biden has said that he wants to raise taxes by about $4 trillion, which is three times as much as Hillary threatened to raise it. He wants to double the capital gains tax to 40 for all Americans, not rich people, all Americans. He wants to eliminate cut in half your per-child tax credit from 2,000 to 1,000. For the median income family, the middle income family, it will cost you $2,000 more just by repealing the Trump tax cuts. Plus, he wants to have an energy tax. Our friend Biden says he wants to have calls it a carbon tax, but that means your gasoline. It's a tax increase on the gasoline for your car, on your home heating oil, on your electricity. And there's no ceiling to that. That can go as high as it does in Europe. Right now, we don't have an energy tax like that, but he wants to invent one. But it would slow our economy down compared to Europe, and it would make it more expensive to make cars here or steel or anything in manufacturing. So there's some real challenges that he's talking about adding to the cost of government in higher taxes, and that won't reduce the deficit. By the way, he spends every penny of that plus more.
Yeah, I just think that we are so focused on trying to look at a 10% plus unemployment right now, which we have to be. But the drastic change that could take place with the November vote will be shocking to many, many taxpayers across the country. Grover,
very bad for jobs.
Yeah, but we appreciate having you here. We'd love to have you back as well. President of Americans for Tax Reform, ATR.org is the website, at Grover Norquist on Twitter. Thank you so much for the time today. We do appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks.
Bye-bye. If you'd like to learn more about his efforts there, you can check him out at ATR.org. Okay, quick break. When we come back, State Rep Darren Bailey is going to be on the show. And we heard from Governor Pritzker earlier this morning, and he has a few things put together now that we can abide by in the state of Illinois in order to make sure we properly punish those people who don't follow his overlording rules. Darren Bailey, I have a feeling, has something to say about that, and he will be with us here in about 5 minutes. You can stream us live at radio.com on your app, on your phone. You can also watch us at facebook.com/Annie Fry Show and also on the Annie Fry YouTube page. Go over there and give us a subscription, and you'll get a notification whenever we go live. Darren Bailey, when we come back.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Always a pleasure to be with you, especially on a Friday. Thank you for choosing us. We are grateful for it. We've got on the line right now Illinois State Representative Darren Bailey. Darren, you keep tangling with this governor, and everybody here in Illinois is watching with hope that you continue to succeed. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's great to have you back.
Well, thank you, and I certainly hope that's the case. I just, you know, this is bottom line to all this is just a complete breach and a trampling and an overstep of our Constitution. And we can talk about masks, we can talk about health all day long, but the process that we go about that is what this is about, and Governor Pritzker has certainly overstepped his authority, and that's a dangerous place for any American.
So I have been given and provided what appears to be a summons in court for J.B. Pritzker, and this also has your name on it. Tell us what I'm looking at here and what action you are currently taking towards Governor J.B. Pritzker.
Well, so, you know, like I said, this isn't games. This isn't, you know, the other side looks at this and believes this is political maneuvering and grandstanding.
Right.
No, this is truly upholding our Constitution. And you know, I could have did this the very first time that he, you know, continued to issue executive orders. However, I was waiting for him to, you know, do something to put some meat to this so that I knew that it'd be, you know, that he would be in contempt of court. And he just skirted that for so long. The entire state of Illinois is confused. They're frustrated. And a few days ago, I filed a motion to hold the governor in contempt of court. So the judge just signed that here a few minutes ago. So Governor Pritzker will be required to show up here in Clay County Courthouse next Friday, or he'll have a warrant out for his arrest. And this simply, you know, I want him to verbally acknowledge the judge's rule on July 2nd and stating that, you know, he does understand this constitutional violation that he has committed, and that he'll do this no more. That's all we're asking for right now.
So this morning he gave another press conference, and this is according to MSN.com. I think it's contributing from KSDK here locally. Governor J.B. Pritzker's administration is filing emergency rules for establishments regarding enforcement of public health mandates. There will be three steps to the new emergency rules. First, the business will receive a written notice warning them to comply with public health guidance. Two, if the business does not comply, it will be given an order to have some or all of its patrons leave as needed in order to be in compliance. And three, if the business still does not comply, it can receive a Class A misdemeanor and be subject to a fine ranging from $75 to $2,500. State Rep. Darren Bailey, what do you say to this new information from the governor this morning?
Well, so, I mean, this is how you go about it in a constitutional manner. Now, interestingly enough, several of us have been calling for session to be called into order for quite some time so that the General Assembly could deal with this. So what he's doing, he's going through the Illinois Department of Public Health. He's asking for JCAR, a committee that writes these rules to basically to amend these rules per his order. So therein, you know, lies the very possibility that because of his orders, this may still not be an adequate avenue. I don't know that yet. Not being an attorney, we're trying to find that out. But he's asking Jay Carr committee to write new rules and to change the rules of Illinois Department of Public Health that would allow enforcement through that body for this. So here shortly, I'm going to I'll have a post on my Facebook page, Darren Bailey for State Senate 2055, and you can look at that and you can see I'm going to have some numbers to access. If you'll remember the first day of the special session, people fired up the phone lines across Illinois because Jay Carr was meeting to possibly expand the governor's powers. And because of the outcry, they refused to act. So if the community, Illinois gets involved again and makes these phone calls like they did then we could possibly stall this and stop this nonsense again. I was up in Naperville yesterday doing some interviews, and it was interesting. At the end of after everything was over in the evening, the group I was with wanted to go out for dinner, so we agreed. So in Naperville downtown, went to the first two restaurants, and they literally, what you had to do is put a mask on to walk through the threshold of their business. One of the businesses was an open air has a pizza place, and the front, it was open air in the front, and right outside the front had outdoor seating. Outdoor seating was full, so obviously our crowd was larger, and we needed to go in. Windows were all up, but you had to put a mask on to walk through the threshold, and then you could take your mask off. That's all that was required. So we decided not to eat there. Went to a second place, and they required masks. And finally, went to a third place down the street, and there was absolutely no problem. They had the sign on the door, requested masks, but they were not enforcing it. What Governor Pritzker wants to do, obviously, is mandate that business must enforce them. You stop at a gas station or whatever, and you go in, you must put that mask on. And if the business is found, people taking their pictures of patrons in the business without their masks on, then these businesses will be fined, as you stated earlier. So such a wonderful place for business in Illinois, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, Representative Bailey, I wanted to ask you, just based on your lawsuit and maybe even others like it that are against the governor in Illinois, it can seem, like you said, a little bit confusing. What do you recommend to somebody who has a business in Illinois right now that they know or that they do?
Well, I recommend they use their constitutional freedom to decide what they want to do. First of all, it's the actual so way early on, Blaine Wilhire, myself, and a lot of health department administrators in Southern Illinois, we put together a back to business plan. And during that plan, we basically said, if we don't ever shut, this was before the lawsuit and before a lot of things kind of heated up, before we started looking at real hard at the constitutional rights. We suggested that business owners and anyone working in a business, especially restaurants, you go ahead and wear your masks to help everybody feel better. But obviously, the patrons would have a choice. And the very morning that plan was submitted to the governor, that's the day at 2:30 that he rolled his Restore Illinois plan out, which was much more restrictive. So I've said from day one, use common sense. If you are concerned about your health, then by all means, stay home first and foremost. If you've got to get out and you're concerned about your health, then by all means, wear a mask. But to mandate the populace as a whole to wear masks is very dangerous to a free society. That's my belief. So otherwise, you practice social distancing. I've come out with these little armband programs, a red, yellow, and a green, so because sometimes it's awkward. You go up to shake somebody's hand, and that's what I do anymore. I kind of stay back, and I let them, approach me just so I don't intrude in someone's space. I carry a hand sanitizer with me, and I wash my hands frequently, and I think that, I believe after talking to many doctors, I'm hoping early next week that I will be performing a Facebook Live with a local doctor who is successfully treating and has some very awesome information that we've been contending for quite some time that is indeed factual. I'm hoping to be able to do a Facebook Live to get some of that message out of some practices that are being performed right here in the 109th District and some of our hospitals. So, we keep closing this thing down and restricting this. Common sense just simply tells us we are prolonging the process. And that's what I think, that's what's happened. You know, we squeezed things down, restricted things, and all of a sudden we opened up. Well, it's summertime. People are traveling all over the place. And we know that we're going to see larger numbers. We know that. And we're testing much more. So, those are the concerns and the solutions that I have.
One last question before we let you go. I only got about a minute left here, but I do want to touch on the corruption with Speaker Mike Madigan. We've seen some aldermen out of Chicago ask the speaker to step down. We've heard other folks on the other side of the aisle, as you are, the Democrats in the House have spoken up in not overwhelming numbers, but breaking rakes from Mike Madigan's empire is definitely something that you don't see very often. Do you have any predictions on where this goes here in the future? I certainly haven't heard anything from my Democratic rep, Katie Stewart, on the issue yet.
No, you haven't heard anything from her. She's got to get reelected, and she needs his money. Yes, I think in due time we're going to see a complete shakedown, no doubt about it. I think that's why this process is taking so long right now, because I think, and possibly on both sides of the aisle. And you want to talk about corruption, I want to throw one more thing in real quick for you to check into. Even here in the 109th District with well-meaning county clerks, there are still two and three mail-in ballots being mailed out to one individual. So people who have been married and changed their name, people who have moved in the last 2 and 3 years, it's happening. It's already happened. I have proof of that. I've seen it. Can you imagine what this could possibly look like in Chicago?
It's a dream come true, I think, sadly.
Yeah.
Darren Bailey, thank you so much for what you're doing, and I want to encourage people to follow you. Your Facebook page is where you're most active, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. All day long we're active, and you can go on there and view this court order that was assigned just about an hour ago. You can go online and check that out right now as well.
And the name of it real quick? For people to connect to?
Darren Bailey for Senate 55.
All right. Thank you so much. We look forward to talking to you again and finding out what comes of this notice to appear for the governor. And we'll talk to you soon, Darren. Thank you.
Hey, God bless you guys.
Yeah, God bless you as well. Quick break. We're going to speak with Gabe Pfeiffer when we return. And I am currently looking for Katie Stewart's office phone number. And on the break, I'm going to call her and see if she's going to vote against Speaker Mike Madigan. Stay tuned. I'll tell you what she says.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.